Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, what a Thursday we now suddenly have. Live in beautiful Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Nothing makes me happier than a big NFL trade, especially to a team I love, a GM I love, and a quarterback I used to love and want to fall in love with again. Carson Wentz to the Colts. I'm going to be unbearable today. Alex Curry is sitting in for Joy Taylor. Alex, how are you? By the way, Alex has been covering baseball forever, and huge, huge baseball deal today. She'll have that in the Herd line. Massive deal. Fernando Tatis, who's an unbelievable rock star. So how are you?
I'm doing great, Colin. It's going to be a great day. I can feel your energy all the way over here from that excitement.
Yes. And I have a Red Bull. I'm just going to put it aside.
Oh, that's dangerous.
I'm going to be unbearable because I love Carson Wentz. I was just on the phone for a half hour with Chris Ballard about 4 or 5 days ago, the Colts GM. He was in a good mood. I knew something was up. Yeah. He was in a really good mood. And I love what the Colts are doing. I think he didn't blink, by the way. This is what Chris Ballard did. Now, I'll tell you what's great about the NFL. So Carson Wentz now to the Colts. We talked about this last 3 days. It's really interesting. The two teams that are better today than they were 2 weeks ago are the Rams, Matt Stafford. So the Rams last year went 10-6 and won a playoff game and gave the Packers trouble. So I think Stafford makes them a game to a game and a half better. So I've already made my NFL predictions. I haven't put them on the air yet, but I've already done my standings at home. I think the Rams go to an 11-5 team with a chance to win multiple playoff games with Stafford. I don't think it's like going from Jameis Winston to Brady, Stafford to Goff, but I do think it's an elevation. He's better in a muddy pocket. He's got a better arm, a little more athletic. And now Carson Wentz to the Colts. I feel the same way. He makes them a game and a half better with a chance to win multiple playoff games. They were 11-5 last year. I think this makes them 12-4, game and a half better. Stafford is better than Goff. Wentz is significantly more athletic than Phillip Rivers. May not be as good at the line of scrimmage. Phillip's really good there. But I think in both instances, and they both did it differently, Les Snead in L.A., a competitive market, is a go-for-it guy. I mean, he's a wheeler and dealer. Chris Ballard doesn't blink. Here's what I'm offering you, and I'm not budging. And they both worked. There's more than one way to win in this league. There's more than one culture. Green Bay wins with their culture. New England wins with theirs. Kansas City's a little flashier. Tampa's down there, crazy town, bringing in all sorts of people. There's more than one way to win in this league. The Rams went and got Stafford, wheeling and dealing. Bidding war. Colts did the opposite. Here's what we're offering. A third-round pick and a second-round pick. So this year, they're giving up a third-round pick, and the following year in the draft, they're giving up a second-round pick, which may become a first-round pick, but right now it's a second-round pick. That didn't blink. So now, and I think this is huge. I think in both Stafford to the Rams and Wentz to the Colts, you have upgraded from very good playoff teams. I now consider the Colts one of my seven teams in the Super Bowl bubble. I think I got the Rams in. Again, they went 10-6 and won a playoff game with Goff. I got Green Bay in. I got Tampa Bay in. And I have San Francisco. As long as Garoppolo is the quarterback and upright, I have them in. In the AFC, I've got Kansas City, Buffalo, and the Colts. I do think Baltimore is close, but I've got to see Lamar Jackson to be able to play from behind, throw the ball late in games more consistently. Seattle's got talent, but I think they make it up as they go in recent years, and I've got my issues with Pete Carroll having too much power. This is what it feels like to me. You got four NFC teams that should be in my Super Bowl bubble: Green Bay, the Rams, San Francisco if Garoppolo plays, and Tampa, and I think it's the Chiefs, the Colts, and the Bills in the AFC. And yesterday I talked about this. I said there's warning signs. There's five warning signs in the NFL that your franchise is about to join the clown show, the clown club. I'm not going to reiterate those, but there's also five signs that you're going to become a legitimate Super Bowl contender every year. And the Colts now have those, and let's discuss them. Number one, the quarterback and the coach have a strong relationship. Breeze and Sean Payton, Andy Reid and Mahomes. Say what you want, Belichick and Brady. Fouts and, you know, you go back to Aikman and Jimmy Johnson. Generally speaking, you are in a – you don't have to win a Super Bowl, but you're in the ball. Arians and Brady, turbulent early, got along great. When the quarterback and the head coach are in unison and they respect and like each other, you win a lot of games, and Wentz and Frank Reich will be great together. He's never been the same since Reich left. Number two is – you have protection. I've said this in baseball, you cannot win a World Series with a lousy bullpen. You can't be bleeding runs no matter. I mean, the Dodgers bullpen wasn't great last year, but it was good enough. You cannot win Super Bowls with a crappy offensive line. The Buccaneers, the untold story of the Buccaneers Super Bowl was their offensive line at the end of the year was fantastic. Brady wasn't getting touched. Number three, you got to give your quarterback some weapons. That's why Brady left New England. Jonathan Taylor for the Colts has become a star at the end of the year. He didn't have a preseason. Michael Pittman, ask the Bills secondary, has become a star receiver. They also have Paris Campbell, hurt last year, one of the fastest players in the NFL. He'll be playing for the Colts this year. You got to have a top 10 defense. That's number four. You don't have to be great. You don't have to have great defense, but you can't ask your quarterback to win 44-40 every weekend. The Buffalo Bills' defense this year wasn't very good, but it was situationally pretty good. But it has to get better. The Bills' defense has to get better. I mean, Phillip Rivers ran up and down the field on him. So Wentz gets a top 10 defense. And number five is you got to have a legitimate front office that just keeps your roster viable. You got to manipulate the cap. You can't pay like Dallas good players great money. So the five things to me that means this is kind of what Baltimore usually is, what Green Bay usually is, what New England was, is you got a good head coach quarterback relationship, good offensive line, give him some weapons, a defense that lets you win occasionally 23-20, and a front office that's viable, manipulates the cap, keeps the roster tight. You've always got a little cap space. You don't have any dead money. You're not paying good players great money. So I think right now the Colts just found themselves. The Rams and the Colts both are in my Super Bowl bubble, but I think the Colts are there this morning. They didn't blink. They've got their way of doing business, and congratulations. I knew when I talked to Ballard he was in an especially good mood, and he just landed Carson Wentz. And let me just say this about there are different ways to do it, but what you never want to do, even in life, is sell your soul. I mean, I'm a saver. I don't spend a lot of money. I make a pretty good living. I put 50% of my income away every year. That's who I am. Now, I tell my kids I overspend for two things, experiences and education. I'll break the bank for college, and I'm going to spend a lot of money if I want to take my family to Hawaii. Because I remember as a kid, we went in five or six vacations. I can remember when I was like 7 years old. But my value system is I'm not going to sell my soul. Okay, this is what I am. I'm a saver. The Pittsburgh Steelers yesterday, Kevin Colbert, their GM, came out. His quote was on Big Ben. As we sit here today, Ben is a member of the Steelers. Not exactly a big advocate, by the way. That's what Les Snead said exactly a week later. He traded Jared Goff. The Steelers have sold their soul a little bit on Big Ben. Let me tell you about Big Ben and the truth. And Pittsburgh has known this since day one. He doesn't commit in the offseason. Jay Glazer jokes his idea of an offseason workout is beers and a yoga workout once a week. He's never been good with film study, and it's gotten worse over time. He's an average practice player. They run a remedial, unsophisticated audible system. They've catered it to Ben. And also, he struggles with high-profile offensive players. Pittsburgh's a smarter organization. They know he should be better at film study. They know he should be more committed in the offseason. They know he's too dramatic when anybody gets a little glare on the offensive side. They sold their soul for Ben, and here's where they are. Trapped. $42 million. If they cut him, they'd pay $23 million on the cap, and he's now bad at the end of the year because he's never committed in the offseason. He was awful in December. He was 1-4, 8 picks, bad. That's what happens as you age as a quarterback. Breeze didn't have the arm left in December. Ben's bad in December. My wife preaches something all the time, and she's always on this. She's always like, stay current, dress current, social media current, get on Instagram. Just stay current. And Tom Brady is the embodiment of this. He gets on social media, and he's funny. He's relevant. He's good with young teammates. He's adaptable. He's very good with his body. Tom is the embodiment of staying current. His supermodel wife probably is part of that equation. She's got to stay current. He stays current. Ben and Favre never did. This is who I am. I'm not moving. I'm not improving. I'm not learning new stuff. And they both age poorly. And I'll say this for Green Bay. Green Bay may drive me nuts sometimes. But even for the smallest NFL market, they never sell their soul. They moved off Favre, and they've already drafted Aaron Rodgers' replacement. They don't romanticize the past. Green Bay never sells their soul. I wish occasionally they'd go for it in free agency. But they've got a soul and a value system, and they never trade it. Pittsburgh, a small market too, sold their soul for Big Ben. They knew he was a crappy practice player. They knew he wasn't committed in the offseason. They know he doesn't put in the film study time. But he was so talented. They appeased him. They placated him. They let him get away with it. And now they're trapped. Green Bay's not trapped. Pittsburgh's trapped. All right. Now, that said, not all good news for Green Bay on the J.J. Watt front. I think you may be noticing this too, but it really jumped out to me this morning. Carson Wentz is now a member of the Colts. Oh, my God, I'm going to be intolerable for the next 2.5 hours. I am so happy right now. Swear to God. When a player goes to a team I like, I'm just going to be obnoxious, and you're going to have to deal with it for the next 2.5 hours. I'm sorry.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hustler Turf Equipment has the most complete lineup of residential and commercial zero-turn lawnmowers in America. Over 1,000 dealers. Hustler Turf dealers are near you. Visit HustlerTurf.com. That's HustlerTurf.com. Carson Wentz has been traded to the Colts. By the way, the Colts had a top 10 offense last year. Moving the ball, they were ninth in yards per play. And that's with Phillip Rivers, who is, and I love Phillip, but he's the least athletic quarterback in the league ever since Eli Manning retired. So they couldn't move the pocket, and they were ninth in the NFL in yards per play. And it should also be noted that Jonathan Taylor, the rookie running back, 22-year-old kid, he didn't really, from Wisconsin, he didn't really emerge until post-Thanksgiving. So if you really look post-Thanksgiving, Michael Pittman, the wide receiver from USC, the rookie, again, there's no training camp. There's no exhibition season. Those guys didn't really pop until post-Thanksgiving. So they, at the end of the year, the Colts felt like, to me, they were a top 5-6 yards per play offense. Now you bring in a quarterback who sometimes, to his demise, likes to move the pocket. So this is going to be a much more viable offense. They won 11 games last year with the least athletic quarterback in the league. Big day for the Colts. They're in the Super Bowl bubble to me. I do think that J.J. Watt is great for the Packers. He may fit the Titans better, their schemes. But Joe Barry's the new Packer defensive coordinator. He's done a 3-4, a 4-3. He's done it. I know Joe. He can do whatever he has to do for his personnel. But the latest story is, and this stuff starts leaking, and I've always had a theory in my business, stuff only leaks when people want it to leak. All right? Like, we don't get stories if you don't leak stories. And that's just the reality of it. If somebody wants it out, I've had stories in my life that I banged on doors forever and they never got out because nobody wants them out. And these stories are leaking because it's now we got a bidding war and J.J. Watt likes it that way. So J.J. Watt's one of the only defensive players, hell, he may be the only one, that's got a brand. The way it works in the NBA, defensive players, Rodman was rare. Rodman had a brand. It was crazy town, but it was a brand. Usually rebounders don't have a brand. Defensive players don't have a brand in the NFL. J.J. Watt's got one. There's a reason all these stories yesterday, J.J. Watt stoking the fire, quote, free agency is wild, he says on social media. He just pouring gas on that puppy, and I don't blame him. He's saying, listen, I know I've had injuries. I know I'm older. He wants to get paid. And J.J. Watt's like, listen, I was still a seventh, top seven defensive lineman. I want to get paid. Here's the problem. Green Bay does not get into bidding wars. As I just talked about, some teams are very comfortable with that. Dallas is, through the years, Philadelphia is, Rams are. Some big city teams, they'll get into these bidding wars. They're okay with it. They trust their scouting department, and they trust their market to make the big move worth it. Indy's not going to do that. Belichick's not going to do that. And Green Bay's not going to do that. So that's the bad news here is J.J. Watt right now is that great high school football player who's got four or five hats on the table. And he goes on his Instagram for a week, and he's like, man, big decision coming on signing day. I may go to Clemson. I may go to Bama. I may go to Oklahoma. And he's just pouring gas on it, getting everybody revved up. That's what J.J. Watt and his agent and his side are doing. They're just putting enough stuff out there to create a bidding war. Green Bay, they do a lot of things well. They're not getting into bidding wars. So that's not necessarily, to me, a great sign for the Packers. And listen, J.J. Watt has every right to make every penny. I think I would rather play for a winner at this point. He's a lock for the Hall of Fame. He's got nothing but money. I think I'd want to win. But listen, Buffalo's out there, they win. Tennessee wins. Green Bay wins. This may come down to somebody just offers him a bigger deal. And that's okay. I mean, listen, there are times when I criticize guys for signing a deal with a bad. I mean, Robinson Cano going from the Yankees to the Mariners, you're like, dude, you don't want to play in Seattle. You're going to suck up all their money. They're not going to be able to afford any other good players. You don't want – that's a mistake. I don't have a problem guy at the end of his career when four winning teams – you know, you got Buffalo's a winning team now and Tennessee's a winning team and Green Bay's a winning team. I don't have a problem with the guy taking money then. Winners are winners, right? Alex Curry with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, Tom Brady made history this year with his seventh Super Bowl win at the age of 43. And after seeing how hard Brady worked to be at the top of his game, LeSean McCoy believes he could be in the league for another 5 years.
He's the only player that I've ever been around that when he speaks, when he talks, I believe him. He could tell me, Shady, go walk on that water. You won't drown. I'm like, okay. The way he works, I wish when I was younger, I wish I worked as hard as he does. We just won a Super Bowl, and he's back training, doing little things. He's 43.
Yay.
He's dialed in, yo. He can play another 5 years. Just because not only just the talent or the big arm and all that, it's just like he gets it. He gets it.
Well, and also the thing that there's an advantage, they've built an interesting offensive line. So it's much easier to talk a guy. I remember Kurt Warner was going to keep playing, and he got popped. And Kurt's like, remember Kurt Warner's like last game, he got smoked. A lot of these guys will stay in it if they feel like they're upright. They don't get hit a lot. In Tampa Bay, because of their history, they're just going to furnish Tom with gifts. This is why I left New England. They weren't going to compromise their culture for Tom. Tampa's like, we don't have much of a culture. You are our culture. So I could see him playing just because Tampa's like, listen, you have changed. The Glazer family's like, listen, we were worth this. Now we're worth this. The general manager and Bruce Arians probably now a Hall of Fame coach. So when you can walk in and change the culture will bend to you. And so I can see them furnishing Tom. If they have a decision, they just go, let's just give Tom another offensive guy instead of a defensive guy. It's what New England wouldn't do because their culture was so empowered through the years.
But this is also a great example of how you treat your body matters and what you put in your body matters. Like, yeah. Tom Brady is the perfect example. When you're an athlete, your body is your job. You got to think of it like a nice sports car, like a Ferrari. You're going to put the nicest gas in it. You're going to keep it clean. You're going to keep it covered. Your body is no different. And coming from someone who had a health freak mom, I was only raised on the health food. Once you go back to that not so good stuff, you feel how it negatively affects your body.
No question.
Immediately. And Tom Brady is the living proof of that. He fuels himself well. He takes care of himself. 5 years may be a bit of a push, but he's definitely going to be at peak performance because of how he takes care of his body for the next 2-3 years.
Listen, how you take care of your body will determine how you age. And some people simply age more gracefully because they took care of stuff.
All right. Well, the Texans are dealing with a lot of internal turmoil right now, especially with Deshaun Watson's future. Former Texan Andre Johnson has defended Deshaun this offseason and gave even more insight to how bad things are with the team. He said, "I've been around the organization for a long time. I worked there last season. Being able to be on that side of it, it's just certain things that you see that you know are not right. I think sometimes top people in the organization, they just don't listen to players. And that's something I felt like I had to deal with a lot when I was there." Now, the curtain is just slowly getting pulled further and further back on that organization. And we're seeing really how big of a mess it is, not only for the players, but also the front office.
Well, I mean, look at the Detroit Lions. You had Barry Sanders retired early. Calvin Johnson retired early. Matt Stafford wanted out. Why? Because the players understand this. It's not right here.
No.
Houston's becoming that. They're a winninger version of Detroit where they're just star players don't feel. And by the way, players don't demand that you do everything for them. It's not the NBA.
No.
Deshaun Watson just wants some answers to some rudimentary questions. So this is, you know, the NBA has always been totally player driven. Where in the NFL, we understand that even a quarterback needs a left tackle. Mm-hmm. He needs a running game. It's more of a, even a quarterback needs complementary pieces. LeBron wins everywhere. It's not like Texan players are asking unfair, unreasonable questions.
No.
Could you just not give away draft picks? Could you? I am rarely on the side of NFL player demanding out. This is the rare instance I get Deshaun Watson's pleas.
And he was also promised things, and then they didn't provide
deliver
the promise. So that's right. That's the biggest thing. All right, moving on to the Nets and Lakers. They face off tonight for the first time this season. Brooklyn won't be at full strength with Durant sitting out due to a hamstring strain. But heading into the matchup, LeBron was asked about the Nets' star power and how good Durant, Kyrie, and Harden can be as a trio. Take a listen.
Being a student of the game and looking at the collection of talent that the Brooklyn Nets have, is there a team that you can compare to in league history having that much offensive firepower on the same group?
Have we forgot about KD, Steph, and Clay already?
I love how quickly he replies to this.
By the way, KD, Steph, and Clay, Clay's a really good defender.
Yeah.
So the difference with the Warriors is Kevin's always been a willing defender, but Kyrie's not a willing defender. He's awful. And Harden's not. The reason that the Warriors were so good is Draymond was just a defender and Clay was an elite defender. So you can get away having Steph, who's a defensive liability. The problem with the Nets is Durant is a willing defender, but he's older now, and the two other stars just don't give it to you on the defensive. That's why every Nets game, win or lose, is the same, 128-124.
And they've only played 7 games together. I feel like to be put in that category, you got to have some hardware. You got to win some playoff games. You got to win, I don't know, a championship. Maybe have some hardware to prove it.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to take.
Alex with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So Albert Breer is going to show up today. Bruce Arians, maybe on a golf course. He's going to stop by as well. So, all right, the big story today. Let's just, if you just popped into the show, let's update you on the breaking news. And it is substantial. The Rams have upgraded to Matt Stafford. The Colts today officially upgraded to Carson Wentz. As we've noted several times, the NBA was always the transactional league. The NFL was not. Jimmy Johnson started trades years ago, kind of kick-started sort of a new generation of how to think and how to build teams. Now you've got a lot of young general managers in the NFL. Les Snead of the Rams is pretty young. Chris Ballard's young. Howie Roseman of the Eagles is young. Listen, the Eagles did not do well on this deal. This Howie Roseman wanted to do a lot better than a third-round pick and a second-round pick. Now, the second-round pick may become a first-round pick, but they wanted much more. I mean, Deshaun Watson may get 4 number one picks. I don't think Carson Wentz is worth that, but Matt Stafford got you. Lions got Jared Goff and multiple first-round picks, and I think a third. So the Eagles got worked here a little bit, and they have nobody to blame but themselves. The Eagles butchered this relationship. Carson Wentz is one of those players that, and I, you know, when you're young and you haven't built up your resume, Philadelphia is a different town. It's very vocal. It's very verbal. It's very angry. Sports talk radio, media is very powerful in Philadelphia. So they take this kid from the Dakotas. He's a small town kid. They bring him in. He's terrific. He gets hurt. but his winning got them home field advantage. Nick Foles comes in, wins a Super Bowl. And so instead of understanding that was going to be difficult for Carson Wentz, it was kind of bravado. It was kind of, that's the way it works. And then they draft Jalen Hurts, second round. That's also a signal to Carson Wentz. So it was a lot of ego here in Philadelphia, just not understanding you've got a young quarterback, Foles winning a Super Bowl. He heard they drove past that statue. He heard it every day. You got to understand, even Tom Brady got sensitive on Jimmy Garoppolo, and he had 5 rings at the time. So they didn't massage this relationship with Carson Wentz terribly well. Philadelphia is a tougher than average. It's a Northeast town where sports talk radio fans are loud. They're in your face. It's not the West, where people like out here. We got a million things to do. The weather's good. We're out all year. Sports is important, but it's not life. You get into these Philadelphias and Buffaloes and Bostons, and sports is life. It's just part of the tapestry of the city, and players hear it, and they didn't massage Wentz very well, and it blew up in their face. By the way, that Jalen Hurts thing at the end of the year when they took him off the field and put him on the bench, that was stupid. You got to take care of your quarterback. You got to make him feel important. And you don't have to coddle him. You have to coddle Carson Wentz. You have to coddle Mahomes. But these guys change the net worth of your franchise. I mean, the Colts are worth more today than they were with Philip Rivers. They're probably worth $30 to $50 million today. Jim Irsay made $50 million today, net worth, because Carson Wentz is your quarterback and their Super Bowl odds improve. Wow. So you got to take care of this stuff. And Philadelphia just didn't. They did not, as they say, handle him with care. And he needs right now, he needs a little love. He needs to be embraced. He's going to get Frank Reich. He's got the offensive line. He needs an organization to fall in love with him again and tell him, you're our guy. You're our guy. And he needs that love. And young athletes do. Hell, old athletes do. LeBron can get, defensive. Brady gets defensive. Peyton Manning can get defensive. These guys are Aaron still gets defensive. When they draft a kid out of Utah State, you got to take care of these guys. They're the franchise. Philadelphia didn't, and they got worked by the Colts. Very exciting. By the way, another contract thing. I'm about done talking about this. There's a story today on Dak's contract that Todd France is his agent. Todd's a very, very legitimate agent. And there's talk how the Cowboys can pay him about $32 million a year, big signing bonus, and make it work. I'll say this about all contract negotiations. Somebody's usually got the leverage. A lot of times, it's the corporation. It's the team. The longer the Cowboys have waited on this, in my opinion, the more leverage Dak has. There's 4 or 5 things working now in Dak's favor. Number one is Jerry Jones is 78. He didn't want to start over with a rookie quarterback. He's 78 years old. He wants to win. Dak's productive. Number two is Dak is beloved by teammates, and he ensures you won't have chaos at the position. Number three is Cowboys have a lot of needs to fill. It'd be nice to go into camp knowing you got the quarterback. I mean, they got to go draft another corner. They got to draft a safety. They got to figure out what to do with DeMarcus Lawrence because he costs a fortune. They may have to move one of their wide receivers because they got 3 of them, but yet they've got an aging offensive line. The other thing Dak's got going for him is we got 9-10 teams need a quarterback. Now, take the Colts out of it. We may be down to 8. Dak's got a market. He's got a market now. It may not be the market he wants at 35 large a year, but Dak's got a market today. The Colts are off it, but you got a San Francisco. We talked about it yesterday. Pittsburgh now. Listen to their GM. They're looking for somebody. So I think the longer this goes, it doesn't always benefit the employee or the quarterback. But I think in this instance, the longer they go, Dak eliminates chaos at quarterback. And in the NFL, you'd prefer to be great, but what you don't want to be is chaotic. Washington this year at times was chaotic at quarterback. Dak ensures you're not chaotic. He's not maybe as great as you want, but Jerry's 78. He doesn't want a circus at the most important position. All right, coming up next, Albert Breer joins us on the Colts. acquiring Carson Wentz? Do the Eagles get completely worked? What's that mean for Darnold? What's it mean for the rest of the teams? What's it mean for Garoppolo? What's it mean for Dak? Albert Breer next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Improve your diet, improve your life. Delicious, high-quality protein from ButcherBox. Sign up today, butcherbox.com/herd. Two free New York strips and a pack of bacon. First box, butcherbox.com/herd. You know, it's interesting. I'm not in any way insinuating that Carson Wentz is Brady. I'm not insinuating that, but like Brady, Carson Wentz inherits some of the same things Brady did in Tampa. Really talented defense, a proven veteran coach, and some really nice weapons. So it's nice. Like Philadelphia, offensive line, not nearly as good as the Colts. They were lousy on the perimeter. Let's be honest. They've whiffed on some of their wide receiver draft picks. They have completely whiffed. So Carson Wentz is going to better weapons, a star running back, a star receiver, a better offensive line. Carson Wentz, sometimes, man, you get lucky in life. You just move to a better situation. Carson Wentz, Midwest kid. It's a more gentle market in terms of media. I think it's a great fit for Wentz. And Albert Breer joining us, Monday Morning Quarterback, their lead content guy, joining us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. All right, so in the end, Albert, what was the market for Wentz? What was it beyond the Colts?
I mean, it wasn't very strong. You know, the Bears were in, but I think that Carson Wentz's desire to go to Indianapolis was pretty clear the whole time. And it's for common sense reasons, Colin, if you look at it. Really, you know, if you look at the two front offices, the two coaching staffs, we know Chris Ballard and Frank Reich are going to be there for the foreseeable future in Indianapolis. We can't say that about Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace in Chicago. The offensive line in Indianapolis is excellent, not so in Chicago. The Bears' number one receiver is a free agent, Allen Robinson. You know, you look at the Colts situation, young, ascending skill players like Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor. And so ultimately, I think those were the two teams that were in it near the end. And, you know, I think if you're the Bears and you look at this and you say, okay, we're going to have to take in $47 million over the next 2 years, $40 million of which is fully guaranteed, and give up draft capital, and the guy doesn't want to come here, we really got to think long and hard about that. And so I think Wentz did play his leverage to some point here, making it very clear that he wanted to be a Colt. And again, he wanted to be a Colt for some very common sense reasons.
You know, it's interesting. They won 11 games with Phillip Rivers, and Phillip Rivers marched up and down the field in Buffalo. I mean, they just kept moving the ball down the field. You know, it's going to be interesting with Wentz because he's been banged up with injuries, and you don't want to move him too much. But I've got to believe Frank Reich looks and thinks, I got a quarterback that can actually roll out. Do you think, you know, I mean, will your gut feeling on how long before Wentz looks like the Wentz you and I both think he probably is?
I have no idea. I mean, honestly, the tape was so bad in 2020. There's a lot they have to work past here. He's been hurt a lot. He didn't take hard coaching very well in Philadelphia. There are some people who've been around him who feel like he needs that, and maybe Frank Reich will give it to him. I think it's very hard to predict whether or not he's going to wind up, you know, being the guy that he was, in 2016 and 2017 in Philadelphia. Or is he Robert Griffin, where he flashed a lot early, and the scheme really helped him, and then he had to learn how to counterpunch and evolve as a quarterback, and he couldn't do it. That part's on him. So you got the perfect situation now. You're going and playing behind a very good offensive line, great team builders, a very, very well put together roster full of ascending young players, and you got the coach you want. You got Frank Reich. You got Press Taylor as your pass game coordinator, the guy who was you were very close to in Philadelphia. You know, now it's sort of on Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you whether or not it's fixable. I mean, most NFL people you talk to aren't sure if it's fixable. But I think that if you're talking about the best situation for it to get fixed, Carson Wentz is in it right now.
All right, couple other things. Kevin Colbert came out and said Big Ben's a Steeler right now, which is what Les Snead said a week before he traded Jared Goff. Listen, they're kind of trapped in cap space hell with Big Ben. But it did offer a sign that it feels like Pittsburgh's sort of done caving to Big Ben. That's what it felt like to me. What did it feel like to you?
Yeah, I did get that feeling. You know, like they've obviously committed a lot of money to him. And, in the past, we've seen them kind of hold on to older veterans and let them age out. And they've paid the financial repercussions for those sorts of things in the past. So you do wonder if there's like a little bit of a negotiating tactic going on here where it's like, you know, Ben, you may not have many options out there if it's not here. So you need to play ball with us. And I don't think, given Ben's history, that he's going to give up much at the negotiating table either. So that sort of feels like that's where we're at now, too. I think the other thing you need to pay attention to here also, Colin, I think a lot of teams are looking at it this year and looking at the guys who are going to be available in the draft, guys obviously like Trevor Lawrence, but Justin Fields and Zach Wilson and Trey Lance. They're looking at some of the veteran quarterbacks who could be available. Obviously, Carson Wentz just went. There are going to be guys like Sam Darnold and Marcus Mariota that could be out there. And then they're looking past that to 2022. Not a ton of guys that have the promise to be first rounders in the draft next year. The free agent class in 2022 doesn't look great. I think there are a lot of teams that are looking at this and saying, if we're going to do something at the quarterback position, it might need to be right now. Yeah. And you sort of wonder if the Steelers are sort of considering that as well, where if we don't move on from Ben now, we are going to move on from him after next year. And if we do that, what sorts of answers are we left with?
So I think J.J. Watt and the Packers feels good, but in the reality is there's a lot of leak stuff right now, and J.J. Watt has a brand. He may be the only NFL defensive player that currently has a brand, and when stuff starts leaking, it's because somebody wants it leaked, and I think he is throwing it out there to the market, and he's going to social, and oh, the wild, it's crazy. And the Packers don't get into bidding wars, Albert. This is not what they do. Like, when I see all this press and all these leaks, I'm like, oh, this isn't good for Green Bay, is it?
Well, and it's interesting because I think the two places he wants to go have cap issues, you know, and that's Green Bay and Pittsburgh, you know, and obviously his brothers are in Pittsburgh. He's got the emotional ties to Green Bay. They're both contenders. They check a lot of boxes. But both of those teams, as it stands right now, look like they're going to be over the salary cap for 2021. So they'd have some work to do to make space for him. And then, you know, you look at teams like in Indianapolis, like a Buffalo, like a Tennessee that have healthier cap situations where maybe those teams would be more prepared to give him money right now. And so I think part of this for J.J. Watt's going to be, you know, how patient can you be? Right now, there's no guarantee the cap is going to be any higher than $180 million. Now, if the television deals get done, you know, maybe that's $10 or $15 million higher. Maybe that loosens up some money and some of those teams can spend a little bit more, teams like Green Bay and Pittsburgh. But as it stands right now, those teams are sort of strapped to the cap. And if you're JJ, you have to look at it and say, do I go for more money to place X or Y that maybe I'd rather, you know, that isn't at the top of my list? Or do I want to go to spot A or B, where they are going to be able to spend money on me and maybe put a few more pieces around me? It's just complicated, and a lot of players' situations are complicated right now by the dynamics of the salary cap.
By the way, just quick 30-second answer. Jalen Hurts, let's circle back to Wentz. Is Jalen Hurts the answer for Philadelphia long-term, in your opinion?
Right now, he's their answer for the next 2 months. I think he'll be their quarterback. I think they're going to do all of the work that they need to do on the quarterbacks that might be available to them with the sixth overall pick. So I'd expect them to go through the full process with Justin Fields, Trey Lance, and Zach Wilson.
Okay, good stuff. Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback on late notice, jumped on our show. We appreciate that. And great talking to you, man.
All right, thanks, Colin.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Jalen Hurts, they drafted him in the second round. You're not going to draft a quarterback in the second round if you don't think he's a franchise quarterback. You're not. So they think he's good. You don't draft a quarterback in the second round unless you believe he at some time is a franchise quarterback. Sometimes you draft guys in the fourth, fifth, sixth. You're like, they're a project. The Colts drafted Jacob Eason. Was it last year? I think it was last year as a fourth round pick from Washington. Not, you know, big arm, but that's somebody like, listen, we're going to back him up. That's a project. But you start drafting guys first or second round at quarterback, you think they're a starter. So Philadelphia obviously thinks Jalen Hurts. And by the way, that's why it didn't set well with Carson Wentz. If they would have drafted Jalen Hurts top of the fourth, it feels different. But when you draft a quarterback second round and you've got other needs on the team, what are you telling Carson Wentz? Dude, this kid's not going to be your valet. Like, he'll be parking the car. So I think they're going to go with Jalen Hurts. We'll see. He's young. We'll see. Quarterbacks now, short, tall, fast, immobile, they all work. Everybody's working. They don't have to look like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Kyler Murray's getting better every year in Arizona. All right, we're packed. Hour two, Dwight Freeney, Lance Briggs. Herd's coming up.